It wasn't that the people were bad. They were caught up and distracted and half-heartedly trying to worship God. And they wasn't receiving anything. And it showed up in their lives, you know. So I just kept moving forward till I got to where I could focus on God in church. From the time I get there until I leave there. And I was receiving revelation all the time, even during praise and worship, you know. I learned how to worship God with the music. Not worship God. The music didn't cause me to worship God. My heart caused me to worship God and found revelation and strength and power in times of praise and worship. Start it, Beth. I don't know. Looking at it, you done started? Good. Because listen, if I'm going to be in a social club, I'll just go to the bars. Right? I'll take my time and I'll go to concerts. And I'll go and I'll have pleasure and fun for a season there. But when I'm concerning the Lord, I'm coming here because I want my body to stay healed. I want to know that God loves me inwardly because of my worship towards Him. He will reveal to me and His love for me in times when, like Richard, Satan trying to take you out. Because maybe you've made a bunch of mistakes. Maybe you've made a bunch of wrong choices. But there's nothing you can change in the past. But He can quicken you into the inner man like He did the Apostle Paul, which was killing Christians, and made a warrior out of that man. I'm talking about for Jesus. I'm talking about give Him revelation. That's why He said, forgetting those things behind, I'm pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus, He said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But once you get that revelation, but look, I mean, we got to be full-heartedly, not saying we're not, but we got to make sure we're never distracted. We're never distracted in our time, whether it's in the house of God or in our prayer time or our fasting time. I mean, because Jesus is full time. If we want Him full time in our life, then we seek Him full time. We look to Him full time. And you know, it's a pleasure and joy in serving God to me more today than it ever has in my whole 30 years. But you know what? It's because I refuse to be distracted. Distracted here, distracted at church, at work. I choose not to be distracted, you know. And I'm going to be talking about some things maybe this morning. Especially, you know, like here. I mean, they were just family talking. And I got away from everybody. Wasn't because my family's bad. They were talking over here, and I came and just come out. Nothing wrong with nobody now. I'm just telling you. And I thought, I'm not going to be distracted by anything this morning. So I come up, and I come away from everything so that I'm not distracted on where I'm going, what I'm doing, right? I can talk about garage doors. I can talk about, you know, yesterday's party we had, it was good and all that. But today I came here and I'm going to lift up Jesus. And I'm telling you, the Bible says, if He be high and lifted up in me, if He be high and lifted up, He'll draw me closer to Him. Right? If I be high and lifted up, He'll draw me into Him. We're lifting Him up. We're going to lift Him up. Hallelujah. Just like, you know, your life might be going good right now, but you better get it in gear for tomorrow and the next day, because the big rise now is Allah on the news. Allah. You ever heard of Him? All over there, and I'm like, go ahead and rise. Go ahead and lift Allah up. They're lifting Allah up because they believe, and I'm kind of getting excited. Because I know who my God is, and He is not a dead God. He is a God that if He needs to, He'll show up with fire for those that stand in faith. He'll show up. He'll show up when the enemy comes in like a flood for you. He'll come in when your body tells you, I know I've walked out of sickness and disease, bless God, hallelujah. Couldn't walk on my legs and feet, took veins out of my legs, hit nerves and all kind of junk. But God, and it tried to stop me, and I drug a leg to work by faith. I went by faith. Why? Because I believe the one that I have put my trust in is my healer. And I believe he healed me over 2,000 years ago. And I believe that no weapons. I'm going to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. That means, Johnny, he gave me a measure of faith. And you too, put yourself in it. When you got born again, he gave you a measure of faith, and he started that, and then he is the finisher. In other words, from the time he started it until our life, we leave here or we're raptured out of here, if we stay engaged looking unto the author, the beginning of the faith that we have, and let him do it on the course of walking with him to finish the faith that He's bringing us into a united faith. Amen. You're going to know the real church in this last hour. Yeah. You're going to know them. They are going to be people of boldness concerning faith. Amen. They're going to be bold in their conviction. I'm not talking about religion, poking Jesus down people's throat. Either you want him or you don't. And that's what I tell people. Either you want him in your life or you don't want him in your life. As for me and my house, we are going to honor and serve God. And I was thinking about it, one of my brothers yesterday, we had a family get together, and we try to do it at least once a year. And so anyhow, we're sitting there, and I begin to give testimony while I was talking. Some take it as just talking. But I begin to give testimony of an incident where the Lord led me. How many knows the Bible says that those that are led, Romans 8:14, those that are led by the Spirit of God, moved by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You won't be moved by the Spirit of God if you don't acknowledge God. Because the Holy Spirit, if you're not interested, and I'm not interested in him giving me God's will, known will that the Holy Spirit knows, then he's not going to bother me with it. But if I want to know the will of God, and I'm looking unto Jesus, then I don't know really what my future, but I'm giving a little testimony, and people, it gets on people's nerves, you know, sometimes when you're giving testimony of how God, they, some people don't realize when you were down there on the bottom and had nothing, and you begin to follow God, and your mind is made up, and you begin to ask God his will concerning finances, concerning your marriage, concerning your kids. I ask him all the time, God, I don't know the will for my grandkids, but I'm going to make sure that I know, stay close to you where I hear you, so that my words to them are glorifying you in their heart. Aubrey sits there, and she used to tell me, I'd tell her about tithing. She would say, Jesus, he ain't getting nothing. Yeah. Well, she don't know Jesus, Chris, like I know Jesus. Right. You know, she ain't seen him. She ain't. But here a few, I pull up to my house now, and I built them a clubhouse, and the word God in black letters is wrote on the side of that clubber. God loves me. That's right. Yeah, she went around it, but I see the word God. And I thought, that's because I kept on, because I know that my Lord's real, and I want her to know out of conviction that about this Jesus. Not about that Bible and what that Bible says. You know, not just only that. I want her to know him like I know him. He saved me. And I'm being born again. The Bible says, me and you are being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, the infallible word of God. See, the Bible says in Hebrews, it says that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two. But I was given testimony a little bit, giving glory to God, telling that I felt like God told me to do this. And because 6 years later, I am this much wealthier than I was 6 years ago because I did what God said. Some of my family yesterday, they're like, well, I'd like to have this. And I'm laying there last night and I said, God, do you want them to have it or not? Do you want me to be the man that you've chose to bless them? Now, what I'm telling you is, I'm willing to take what God give me direction and bless me financially to where I lack nothing. And I'm not going to come tell you, Pat, that my God can't do it for you because you drive a white Nissan or you're on whatever. I would be limiting God to somebody's circumstance. I can tell you if he would do it for me, Donald, a little nobody that he knew about, I didn't, that come out, going to commit suicide, selling your kids drugs, stealing their stuff, stealing their cars, stealing gas. I didn't believe in buying gas. I went to Florida and found out how to go down there and open a big container on a big gas thing, and I stole gas the whole 3 months I was down there. I never bought gas. Then I told everybody else about it, and I'm like, let's just don't smoke no cigarettes, because it was a gas station thing, and I found out how to get in it and get. So I was filling everybody's tank up that I knew, man. I'm like, let's do it. I mean, we all just cruising Florida, Dade City, Florida, on free gas. Pat benefited. She's probably done forgot about it. She was a thief too sometimes. I was filling her and Harvey's car up, man. He's taking them all over there, filling them up, buddy. I was. And here I am now. I'm not stealing. I'm not stealing anymore. Hallelujah. I mean, what I got, I work and believe God, and he increases those that will work with their own hands to have, to give to those who need, that want to be, you want to be a blessing. You don't have to have anything to have faith that you're going to be a blessing. Because God will make it happen. God will bring you to the place to where you can make things happen. That's why he wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be able to pay somebody's house off. He wants you to be able to pay somebody's down payment, $5,000 on their house or $10,000. He wants you to be able to buy them. I told one of my sisters, she'd want a golf cart. I told her, I said, well, listen, I said that one right there off of Monty Nim's kid that heard the gospel here, done it and got him a car. Now, bless God, that might not excite you, but it does me. I preach what God says. Somebody's a doer of the word of God, what God is speaking to them, and God brings results to them, then that one heard it. And she went and got her one till it rotted on the front porch, a steering wheel cover. She had to buy her another one to match the interior of the car. But her car came. Your healing's here. Donald, you got authority over them stupid devils that tries to get you to warfare with them. You hear me? You don't fight them. Jesus has already won the victory over them idiots. And they're trying to convince you with your mind and drive you crazy. Drive you insane. To get you to where maybe you win in the battle. To do warfare in the natural in your own strength. All you got to do is rise up and put them under your feet and don't talk to them. You don't talk to them. I don't talk to the devil. They come to me. They tell me. They give me thoughts. They do it through other, but I don't respond to them. I tell them, I resist you in the name of Jesus. And I remind them that I resist you and you got to flee. Simple. They're real. Demons are real. They come here on Sunday. They come here and they remind you of all your bills so you won't pay attention with God. They bring people in this place, and I've separated people in here and said, sit over here. Well, we're brothers. I don't care. Y'all can't talk in church. There's people behind you and in front of you that are not there. Their lives are desperate. So you get over here and you say, I've separated them, Chris, like little babies. Grown people. Because I am the under shepherd. I'm under Jesus. I'm under Him. And I'm going to give an account for what I preach here and what I allow to go on here. I'm going to stand before the Lord one day and He's going to say, why didn't you address that? And I'm going to be the one that He says, come on in, thou good and thou faithful servant. You was faithful in that little church. Come on, look here. You're going to minister to trillions up here. This is not how I thought it would go, but it's great. I'm in preaching myself happy. I know how it feels to be down there sick in your body wondering if this healing stuff is really real. But lay hold of the Word of God and put it in my mind and renew my mind and remind myself every day on a daily basis, black God, this is not how it's going to end up. I'm the healed of God, black God, and I am walking out of this in the healing power of Jesus. And I walked out of a bunch. Heart attacks can't kill me. I had them. Diabetes can't get a hold of me. Mom and all them had it. They accepted it and I don't. Right? My daddy told me that salt killed his mom at 24 years old. She went around with hands full of salt. And you know what? I've eaten salt all my life, and I always declare, I don't know if he knows what he's talking about then or not, Dad, but my dad, but I am redeemed from salt killing me. Hallelujah. Amen. They salt in everything. Yeah. You know how to have a box of salt that's in there? It's a preservative. Right. It preserves, so they got it in everything. Somebody told me one time, well, you know, sugar diabetes. I'm talking about looking unto Jesus. Yeah. What did He do on that cross for me? What happened on that cross? Not just salvation. Long, satisfied life. Granted, you're promised 120 years under this covenant that you have with God through Jesus. If you decide to live that long, all you've got to do is believe in your heart that He'll keep you, He'll strengthen you, He'll help you, and continue doing that and continue praising Him. Long satisfied, and I'm in agreement with you. If everybody else is afraid that a little 90-year-old woman can't make it to 120, well, I'm fearless in it. All I've got to lose is her. So my faith that for her 120 years, I don't have a problem believing it because the Bible says it. Walked into a guy last week or a week before last, me and Travis. Now look, You know, when God brings you to, I sat at the table of my family yesterday, and I told some of them, one of them's in a wheelchair, he had a stroke, and he's believing God to be restored, and he's fighting all the time, coming up with things to work out, his arms drawn in, and he's in a wheelchair, and I went to the hospital, and first one to go to the hospital down there, I went in there to where he couldn't breathe because he thought it, he'd had that stroke and couldn't feel wind and all of that, you know, wanting a fan. I said, look, calm down. You're good. You're good. You're good. I said, you're okay. I said, listen, this is not the state of your life. I said, this right here happened. I said, but I'm believing God. This has been several years ago. I said, I'm believing God for a full recovery. And as long as you don't quit, God is going to help you. God is going to be help you come through this. See, we might think we're going through a lot and going through some challenges, but we look around at somebody that's a little worse off. And then we realize and glorify God how good God is. He's a good God. And people, I keep preaching this gospel, Granny, not just in here, at my family's table, wherever, not out of a religious stupid spirit. That's stupid. Our lives in Christ Jesus is glorious. I preach Him that they receive Him and they walk in Him and they enjoy life and come out, go to heaven after they leave this life. But I sat there and I was talking about faith in God, how God, you know, told me to do this. How many knows He'll lead you and guide you? He'll lead you and direct you. He'll give you wisdom. He'll give you wisdom everybody ain't got financially. He'll give you revelation on the inside that seems stupid to people on the outside. But you'll do that and you'll get results and they'll wonder how you get them. I've had people, it's because you're a preacher. That's stupid to think that He only blesses preachers. That's not what this Bible's written to. That Bible is given to me and teachers and apostles and prophets to preach it so the body gets it and then the body rises in health and spiritual wellness and body-wise, social-wise. That's why, you know, you might not be very social, but that's not you. He wants you social. He wants to put you in crowds. He wants to put you in meetings and different things in your life so that you can be a preacher, a minister of the gospel. But if He can just get you caught up in your cares and trouble, give me that. I want to share something. I forgot where it's at. Exodus, Numbers 21, I think. Yeah. Just give me that. Okay. This is the children of Israel after He had sent Moses and let them out, you know. And He's leading them and he's taking them to the promised land. You know, they got there, Chris. These words were for them so that they could make it to the promised land. And these in the Old Testament is the New Testament hidden. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Everything is pointing to the promise in Jesus. Everything is pointing to Him. Even in the Old, Moses was a type of Jesus. Everything is pointing to Jesus. And here he says, and when King Arab and Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard that Israel, that they'd come out of Egypt, came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. When I got there, I've read that I don't know how many times, Richard. But that stuck out to me. Satan, I came into the kingdom of God, and he immediately and has ever since then tried to take me prisoner. He's tried it. It has worked at times with anger, you know, with fear, you know, with mistakes, then some choices on my own making them took me prisoner. And so that stuck out to me. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou will indeed deliver this people into my hand, then will I utterly destroy their cities. And then that stuck out to me. I thought, God, every time I have been took prisoner by my own will or ignorance or whatever, when I turned to you, you always delivered me. You always brought healing. You always brought restoration in my marriage. You always work it out at church. I have felt bad, Chris, preaching this, and people leave here and say it's just too hard there. He preaches about money all the time, money all the time. All they hear is that. They don't hear him talking about your marriage and talking about your victory and your kids and your grandkids. They forget to mention they heard that in the whole 45-minute sermon. And why would I preach to you, Donald, about money? Not to get it from you. Why would I tell you God will increase you more and more? Does that sound like I'm trying to get your money? But the devil makes people hear that. He takes them prisoner. In their own mind, that their hearts are not turned, they are turned from God. That's all he wants. Satan told me, Nita, that I came out of a poor family, raised poor, had nothing, and that's the way I had to live. Satan told me that through thoughts. Teresa gets up there and she preaches this morning how she felt about Brother Brad, because she condemned herself a lot. Satan would tell her and she'd just receive it. I didn't know it. She didn't know it. I mean, we don't know this stuff. I didn't know how to help her and fix her. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. I mean, he's did a good job. She's the best wife I've ever had. I'm only married once. Hey, man, I borrowed money and paid for a divorce one time, didn't I? And never did get one, so I paid for a divorce. But now, you know, I mean, I told her yesterday, she serves people, Doris, like I've never seen her serve people in 43 years. I told her yesterday, I said, when I started out, because she's up there, we got to get, I said, listen, I'm fixing to go to the house. My family, they was late and kept me later than they should have. That's the way sin is, ain't it? Yeah. I told them, I said, you know what? I said, I'll tell you what. Next year, I said, we're going to tell them get here at 10. I said, so they'll be here at 12. Could you tell them 12 and they get there at 2? I don't know how far off you can get. That's a lot. Praise God. But here, you know, he said, he bowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if you will deliver this into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. Go ahead, Beth. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities, and he called the name of the place Horemah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people, this stuck out to me, the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the Lord spoke to me. I'm sitting there and I could just see it. I could just see some people, you know, while you're journeying with the Lord, sickness attacks you. Yeah, you was good till that happened. You was good till you got a job. And now you ain't got time you're too tired. I could just see it. I could just see all the things on the journey. They got discouraged because of the trials that they were going through on their way to Canaan. Yeah. Satan wants to trip you up. He wants you destroyed young You can believe I'm an old man if you want to. I've been there 28 years old when I got born again. And I thought all of them old people didn't want me to have fun and all that. But my eyes were open to how much bondage I was in and how that Satan wanted me to commit suicide. I almost did it. I had the gun with double-aught buckshot because I knew birdshot I might make it. But double-aught buckshot, my head's gone. I'm not going to feel it. I'm going to be one little split second, pee, and then I won't feel nothing no more. And I was at the edge. And this thing that people reject, you know, is the very thing I thank God today. Now I'm standing here, a young man. I'm young. She's like, well, I don't know. You look pretty old. You got a little gray. And I have all kind of fun. You know, praise the Lord. But don't let him. I'm talking to you too. If you're not submitting yourself to Jesus Christ, I'm telling you he is working double time to set you up and trap you and take you prisoner. All the time. He says, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. I said one time, now I have Jesus in my heart, but there's so many trials going on in my life while I'm pastoring this church. And all of that stuff, working, and all that, and I've got so much going on till it got my attention, Monty. When it lasted 3 weeks and 4 weeks and 5 weeks and 6 weeks and 8 weeks, when the trials just kept coming, there they are. They got discouraged because of the trials they was going through. God's warning you today. Get your eyes off of trials. Get your eyes off of money problems, kid problems, whatever your problems are. Get your eyes off of that and get it on Jesus. Go on, Beth. That's right. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? I've heard them. You hear them today. You don't have to go to church to be a good Christian. Something got them out of the way. Something got their attention. Something got them. It's easier to sit at home, one thing. And then they're not going to ask you to tithe. They're not going to take up no offerings. They're not going, you know, all of that stuff, you know. Yeah, no nursery. Ain't got no nursery. My brother, we're known for the word here. One of my brothers talks to teenagers and stuff and parents, and they told him, they said, listen, get your kids and take them down to this church in Bluntsville called Faith Way Christian Center. They don't have programs for kids to have fun down there, but you know what? They'll help them. It'll save their lives. He said they're known for putting the word in them in Sunday school, in the children's church, and the teenage ministry. No, we're not known for flashy preaching. We're not known for lights and programs and all that, and they ain't on all that. If they doing that, they better get off that. Because it ain't how many you can get in church. It's how many disciples can you help them develop and to grow and develop. I told Samantha when she went back there to Johnny's, I told her, I said, I want the word in them babies. I want everything you do some word somehow. And she does. As far as I know, they get rewarded. Aiden, he come in and he said, I said, what's that? This is my scriptures for our church back there. I'm like, that's what I'm talking about. Proof's in his hand. Well, he says, and the people spake against God. Let them talk against God, you, the church, the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you something. God, don't just sit back and say, well, there's nothing I can do about it. He said right here, he said against Moses, wherefore have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? And there is no bread, neither there any water. Or so, our soul loatheth and is like bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Go ahead, Beth. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. That's why we pray for people. That's why we don't give up on people. You know, I went through an incident with Brother Mac that's here. I love him. But now I don't know what he was when he first come. He was not good. He came out of the world and came out of meth and different things. He went around to several churches. He told me himself out of his own mouth, ain't telling you something he didn't tell me. And he admitted later on he only did that because he was after women. He was in church after women. He's been delivered from that power of lust, and he's not doing that no more. But anyways, he comes down here, and some of our stuff wasn't going the way the other churches did it. And we've not tried to compare ourselves with other churches. We endeavor to be led by the Lord, our programs, and one of the things that he wanted to change was Monty doing the men's meeting. It should be a Bible study. That's not a Bible study. Monty hears from the Lord or whoever's teaching, bring us something to feed us, to strengthen us, to encourage us, to fellowship together in that manner. They ain't no open discussion where anybody can just jump in and just take over that and take it in a direction where God don't want it. I mean, Satan's real good at that. And so he gets mad. He leaves the meeting. Johnny was there. He leaves the meeting, you know, and people were trying to help him, you know, a little bit. And he leaves the meeting. He's mad. And when he left the building, he knew that that the Holy Spirit had left him. Why? We're just a bunch of men sitting there. No, we're doing the will of God. We're not just a bunch of men. We're not wasting our time. I could have been at the flea market. Right? I could have been up yonder with a pontoon on the boat. I had our family get together yesterday, and we got men's meeting. And I told Teresa, I said, because I got to hang up balloons, Pat, and, you know, and we got this to do and that to do and all of that to do. And she done got up there at 6:30, and I get up there about 7 or so. And I told her, I said, I don't have to really go to the men's meeting. She said, oh, try that. Don't seek the kingdom first and see what happens. So you know where I was at? Out of the men's meeting, man. And it was good, Monty. It was good. I mean, wasn't it good? I don't hype nothing up. If it wasn't good, I'm going to say, Monty, he sucked today. He was in the flesh, man. I don't know what his problem was, man. All his strength was out of tune. But it was good. Monty, under the anointing, praise the Lord, all of that, praise God. But my point is, you know, looking unto Jesus. But you know what? We got out of here right on time, and I got in there right on time, and I had more hours than I thought I had. They were all late, remember? See, I could have come unglued, and you know what? I sat there, and it's trying to get me upset. They were discouraged by way of the journey, right? We got to link that to our life, you know. I'm sitting there, you know, and I'm like, man. And one of them said, the Westons are going to be late for their own funeral, and that's not going to happen. They won't be late for their funeral, right? But I know what they meant. And so I'm sitting there and I'm like, man, this is ridiculous. I'm having these thoughts. This is ridiculous. What's wrong with them? You know, they know, man, blah, 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 blah. Then I sat down there and I took those thoughts captive. And I thought, nope, you know what? Pray God, nope. I'm going to enjoy my family when they do get here. As long as they stay, I'm going to enjoy them. They stole my nap. I got in and it was nearly 5, and I thought, man, that's terrible. I ain't got time for a nap now. It's y'all's fault. What? I wasn't going to let the journey get my joy, Richard. I wasn't going to let my journey think bad of any of them. None of them did nothing wrong. They were just late. And the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he look upon it, shall live. That serpent on the pole is pointing to Jesus Christ. And then Hebrews, I believe it's 12:2, Teresa quoted it. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. And you know what? I was sitting there this morning and I thought, looking unto Jesus. I thought, that's not just thinking about him. That's not just thinking about him. They had to go, and he told them, he said, those, tell them, he said, to go look on this serpent. And they had to gaze at it. I mean, they had to go gaze at that serpent on the pole. And everyone that did was healed. Everyone that did was recovered and healed. And I thought, Lord, it's not just me saying your name. It's not just me reading in the Bible. Give me that Matthew or whatever it is I got. Let me look at that. We might go back to that. This right here is, what is that, John? I think it's John 3:14-16. Teresa quoted this scripture all over this morning. Not about this. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world, condemn the world. She was all over that this morning. I thought, man, she's got all my scriptures this morning. Me and her have learned to look to Jesus for our therapy. Amen. I mean, Teresa went through one time, and I mean, this has been years ago. We walking with the Lord. She tells me, we need to go to therapy and get our marriage straightened out. I said, you need a therapist. I don't. I told her, I don't need one. Ain't going to go down there and tell me how much trauma I put you through for 38 years. That's why you are the way you are. That's not my fault. But God, if it ain't a Christian woman, they go all the way down there back to your mom and daddy. Want to know about them. That's what's wrong with you. So I told her, I said, I'm not going to a therapist. You need one. I don't need one. Well, I had one. He's my counselor. That's what the Bible says. Well, it tried to get me to thinking, man, maybe I do. Maybe I'm jacked up and don't know it. She's trying to convince me I need one. So maybe I do. Now I thought, I'll not think that garbage. Glory to God, he's my counselor. I have a sound mind. I turn to the Word of God. Why? Because it was trying to get me by way of the journey to get discouraged. See, because if he can get you discouraged, there's no promise coming. Because you're going to lay your faith down. You're not going to look unto Jesus. You're not going to trust him for strength and wisdom and increase and joy and peace. See, looking to Jesus means what he did on that cross. If I be high and live Moses, that just as Jesus, as the serpent was lifted up, so shall Jesus be lifted up. You see, now look at what he took on before he went to that cross. He took sin. He was made to be sin. That we are made righteous. Right? We're in right standing with the Lord. They tied him to a whipping post. And they whipped him. I mean, they whipped him and they tore him up. And I mean, they were punishing him. But see, it was all in the plan of God. Jesus said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured that cross. For the joy. See, Jesus didn't let his journey distract him. Paul didn't let his beatings and prison and mocking and all of that, he didn't let that distract him from the mission that he knew God had for him. Me and you have a mission on this planet to leave a legacy to our families behind us and be forerunners for the ones that's coming from behind us, and we've got to show them how to look unto Jesus. See, a guy stood up in church one time, and I'm sitting on the front row, and I'm on fire, Chris, for the Lord. You know, at that time, going to the jail. I mean, I'm just, man, and I didn't see defeat when it was there. I'm like, God, that's nothing for God. That's nothing for God. I mean, you know, it's old guy stood up, and he said, the church is just going to hell in a handbasket. And I looked around, I thought, I ain't getting in it. Look, God, the rest of them get in the basket if they want to, but I'm not, you know. And then Bradley, he stood up and he said, the church ain't going to hell in a handbasket. He said he's coming back after a glorious church. And then I thought, that's what the Bible says. This guy sees different than we do. We're looking through the eyes of the Lord. And it does look, whatever his experience was, it's reminding me of Elijah when he goes tells the Lord, Lord, there's nobody serving me but you. And the Lord spoke to Elijah. He said, he's 144,000 that's not bowed their knee to Baal. And I thought, man, Elijah's done got discouraged too. See, me and Teresa not good in our home. Listen to me, y'all. When it ain't good at home, it feels bad here. When me and Teresa is not good, this sucks. Yeah. I know that's not a church word, but y'all know what I'm saying, don't you? It's just terrible. Let's say it that way. That way it don't sound like I'm cussing.
I'm telling you, Vince, a preacher, he said it sucked in church.
Well, by God, you let cussing and everything come through your TV. You know what? You're the temple. This building ain't the church. We're the temple of God. You know? And so we got to make sure at home that we're united. Teresa used to think I was the stupidest man on the planet. I don't know if she could even think that. See there? She was convinced by the devil that she's got to be the leader of our house. Listen, I see. I didn't want to pay no bills. I keep my money. Forget them bills. But you know what? We found out through the Bible that our prayers are hindered. We found out when we're not good at home, our prayers for the church is hindered. Our prayers for our kids are hindered. Our prayer, when we're not in union with the Lord, so us husband and wives, and we need to teach our, I mean, if y'all have ever had a divorce, don't teach them how bad divorce is to your kids and your grandkids after. Don't go teaching them all that stuff. Teach them to be, this is one man, one woman, that's it. And when you get married, that's forever. Don't go tell them how bad divorce is and all of that and blah, 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 and your bad experience. I understand paying for divorce. I only want myself. People say, you shouldn't preach that stuff up there. Why not? It's real life. And if I don't got a testimony, I ain't got nothing from God yet. Right? A testimony is your proof that God did something and you're telling everybody about it. That's what a testimony is. It's God did something for you, and you're telling people. They can say you're bragging if they want to, but you're bragging about what God did for you. I'm believing that you will whip them devils, and I mean you will never see that enemy again. Jesus has already done it. And he's getting you to engage. Satan's getting you to engage. He wants you to engage. He's wanting you over in his turf, in his arena. You have the faith arena. You have the promise of God arena. And so you got to stop engaging in that way. The only way you should engage is remind him, raise your foot up, put him down, and step on him. You got to do it by faith. Because you believe that Bible says he's under your feet. Because you got to believe that the blood of Jesus is covering you. That you resist them and they have to flee. You got to believe it. Jesus done it. He's already done it. And when you do that, you're looking to him like they did. And then they were all healed. So you do that from here out. Don't engage with them again. I don't know nothing here recently about nothing. I'm just telling you what the Spirit of the Lord is telling you. He's telling you do not fight him in the natural anymore. You'll never win. Never win. He can't kill you. He'd have done killed you if he could have. He would have done killed you. He would have done got you to commit suicide. He don't have that kind of power. He's trying to get you to do it. He can't do it. He's trying to get you to do it. You thought about it. Probably every day. Probably for years. But you ain't took that thought and done something with it. The Bible said, Jesus said it. He said, take no thought, saying or doing. Don't engage with him no more. Don't talk to him no more. Tell him to shut up in Jesus' name. When you have them thoughts to fight him and all that stuff, like he's going to win. See, he's got fear. Fear torments you. If you're afraid he'll win, that's against you. I'm not afraid he can win. I'm not afraid he can win against me, against you. Bible clearly says no weapons formed against us will prosper. The Bible clearly says that Satan was stripped of all power. See, you know all this, but now the word's coming to you from the Lord. And the Lord, now things are going to be different when you go forward, if you do it. You're going to be different today. It's going to be different. I'm just telling you. In Jesus' name. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn it, that the world might be saved, but the world through him might be saved. So listen to me. Don't ever see your situation that is negative without Jesus. Don't ever do it. Don't ever face anything without consciously saying, God is with me. God is for me. Who can be against me? No weapons formed against me will prosper. And then believe what the Bible says, that you're going from one level of faith to another level of faith. One level of glory to another. I hear my sister. She was one of the most negative people that I ever seen in a family, Nita. I mean, you know, you can say the sun's shining. Yes, clouding up. That sure is a pretty day. Not for long. Man, we got sun shining. Yeah, but James Spann said, you know. But somebody said yesterday, I've heard it changing since she's been here. Probably longer than that, but I've missed around her more. She said something. She said, I can tell you right now, I'm going to live to be 120 years old. She got that out of the Bible. She's going to live to be 120 years old. That's better than saying I'm going to die like my dad at 67. I've heard some of my brothers say it. I told them, I said, you better shut that up. You better shut that up. Don't go around saying you're old, weak. I said it out loud at my family the other day. I said, I'm not old. I'm sitting with my younger brother, and he's old, he said. I said, I'm older than you, and I'm not old. That's how you're looking at it. I'm not old. I'm not going around saying, oh, Tracy and them don't take my, they're going to have to pull my keys for long. They better get them a gun. I'm driving in Jesus' name. Amen. I go around saying, I used to be in such a hurry. Now, there wasn't nothing. My truck would go before I got stopped. My door would be open. You know, when it locks in park, I'd be like, door's open, leg hanging out. Ain't got stopped yet. I've left my door open because it didn't want to take time to open it when I get back. I've done it, man. Leave the door open. I ain't got time to open it when I get back. I got to go get $20 worth of gas and I'm in a hurry. I had to take the scripture where it says, be not anxious for anything. Right? Don't be anxious. You know. So now I just drag around. I'm getting in the truck the other day checking my cows. And I'm not in a hurry. I'm trying to get like Monty. Just slow down a little. Just slow down a little. I'm trying to get like Monty. You know, because if you're kind of like Monty, you know, you don't mess up as much. Because, you know, you're taking it easy and you're making every step count. And, you know, and sometimes if you got to go back like I was, you're messing up a lot. Monty can outrun you, and that's saying a lot. Monty's faster than he used to be. Y'all got another 3 minutes? Praise the Lord. So, you know, I'm getting in the truck, and I don't know what her hurry is. We're just going home. And I get one leg in, and she starts driving off. And I'm trying to stretch it. I'm like, hey, stop! And she's going, yes, sir. I'm telling you, I almost burnt the truck down. I carry a lighter to burn brush, and I'm like, oh, to set the seat on fire under it, but God, and then jump out and say, ha, 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 that's funny. And then she got to tell everybody, trying to make me mad every time she tells somebody, like it's funny. I told her, yeah, look at her. She's still cracking up over there. That's the way Aiden is. Yeah. That ain't funny, man. I can't get in or out. I'm at the mercy of her laughing over there. Now I get in. She's I didn't crack a grin or nothing. I just kept. Sometimes you can send a signal by saying nothing. Then she tells the grandkids, she's a papa. And I'm sitting over there and I'm like, wait till she gets that. I'm gonna drag her down the road, but God. When she gets in my truck. But see, I started to tell her, that is dangerous, I'm old. And I said, don't you dare say that garbage. Everything's going to give you opportunity to confess contrary to the Word of God. It's going to give it to you. See, Richard, he acted like he was 30 the other day. He's wearing a bandage. Shark doo-doo days are a little past gone, you know. That's 10 years ago. This guy told me, he said, I'm telling you, I'm getting old. I can't do blah, 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 blah. I said, listen, just quit trying to act 30. Don't be saying all that. Just quit trying to act 30. You're not 30, and that's fine. Don't try to act 30. I'm not going to go dive like you did down through there. That's just not going to happen. She's got a slip and slide. She ordered one. Maybe it's not rubber. My skin just seems to stick to rubber, don't yours? Praise God. So I want to encourage you. You know, I mean, Allah's coming up all over the news. If you don't watch the news and that's good, you don't hear nothing about it. That's good. But this world's listening to it. And they're saying every house will have Allah in it. Their mission from over there, from our adversary, the devil, is to take us out. We are a great Satan to them. But see, I kind of looked into Allah. He left his family. He left his kids. He abandoned everything that God, contrary, we don't abandon our kids. We don't even put ministry first. We put God first. We put God first and family and then ministry. God first, family, ministry. They're like all about their self and what they can gain, and Jesus is about all that we sacrifice for him and he sacrificed for us. So I'm kind of excited about this big Allah that they talk about. He's dead. There ain't but one that came out of the grave out of all of them so-called gods, and his name is Jesus Christ. There ain't but one God and one way, hallelujah, and his name is Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just praise you. And Lord, we thank you today. We thank you, Lord, that we can look to Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we're not going to be distracted on the journey. Father God, we're not going to give the devil no place. Lord, and I praise you and thank you for the word of God. I thank you for the endurance of the Holy Spirit with us, Lord, as we develop and grow and develop in faith and endurance. Father God, I praise you and thank you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, you're increasing us more and more, even our children, God. God, I thank you, Lord, you've caused us to be a blessing in this planet through the gospel. Lord, to preach the word of God, to minister faith and encourage to your people, Father God, as we move forward, looking to the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father. We're looking to him. We're trusting in him. We're abiding in him. His word's abiding in us. We ask you what we will, Lord, and you do it, Father. And I praise you and thank you. I thank you that signs, wonders, and miracles, Lord, will happen in our hearts and lives, Father God. I thank you, Father God, that we will be increased in you more next week than we are this week, Lord. And Father, we purpose, Father God, to follow you and trust and look to you, Lord, and we give you the praise. Is anybody in here this morning you need prayer before we dismiss? Anybody online, you know, your heart is your altar. If God has ministered to you and bringing conviction, if you're lost without Jesus Christ, all you've got to do is call on him. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, with the heart you believe, you believe that he died for you and he was raised from the dead, and you believe that he wants you to come to him and receive him. And all you've got to do is ask him. All you've got to do is ask him. If you're away from the Lord, let this be the day that you rededicate your life to the Lord and get engaged so that God can strengthen you and encourage you. Father, I just pray you for everyone today, Lord, and we give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name. Let's stand to our feet and give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah.